My name's Tomas. I'm a grateful recovering addict, still seeking recovery today. And I want to thank God of my understanding for another day clean and an opportunity to be of service to any addict that's seeking a new way to live. And, you know, and I want to thank, I don't see her on this platform meeting, but my friend, Nicole, who suggested that, I get this opportunity to share. Oh man. All right. So, I get on the meeting not knowing what to expect. And I see a bunch of women with their children. And at first I was like, am I at the right meeting? But you know, man, God works how he works. And it's beautiful to see clean addicts or that with their children holding them. Because when I was getting clean, I didn't have that opportunity. You know, I got clean. The reason I even got clean was I found out that I had a child who was 10 months old. Her mom was going to prison, facing 2 years. And our child had suffered two fractured legs from being in an argument. And the boyfriend or the mom was hanging our daughter upside down by her legs and fractured her legs. And she learned how to walk in stints. I was nowhere in the picture at the time. I didn't even know I had a child. But around 10 months old, I had a sheriff show up at my parents' house, and I was using. I had friends over. We were using. And I thought I was going to go to jail that day, but they were just giving me a subpoena to show up for a DNA test because I was one out of five possible fathers of this kid who they were looking for the father. And after, you know, a few months after going to the DNA, showing up to court, of course, I wasn't clean. I was high. And I took my DNA test, and some few months went by. I still didn't believe the child was mine. Didn't want the child to be mine. I was like 33 years old, in and out of jails and county and on the streets and hurting all my family members and burning bridges with friends and associates. And you know, I found myself using a lot by myself and just chasing the drugs and a lifestyle that was leading me to death. And what I know today is that this child was like a gift. It was a blessing, something that gave me purpose to think that there was a reason to live, a reason to do something different. And you know, when I found out that I was the father of this child, my daughter, it hit me like a ton of bricks because they told me that I couldn't have custody of her. Once I found out she was mine, they told me, well, you're not qualified to be her dad. You got too many, like my drug record, my affiliations, all that stuff. I was an unfit parent in the eyes of the state of Texas and CPS. And my daughter was part of CPS because she was born into CPS because her mother was using. And her mother's still using till today. And you'll never hear me bash her mom. I pray for her mom all the time, and as a father and daughter, we pray for her mother together. And my daughter's turning 10 years old next Monday on the 21st. I've had full custody of her since she was 2 years old. When I was like 1 year, I think I was about to celebrate 2 years clean, and the judge awarded me full custody of of Ariana, who's my daughter, who I was talking about, the reason why I got clean, to try and be a father, to try and be something than just a using addict that was dying, committing suicide, without even knowing it, with the drugs and the lifestyle I was living. And I didn't know what that was going to look like. I didn't know what was in store. Shit, I didn't even know if I could get clean or stay clean, because I liked getting high. That's all I knew how to do for 23 years is get high, man. From the age of 13 to the age of 33, just get high. That was it, man. Nothing else mattered. But when I found out I had this kid, I found some hope. And that's what it was. I found a glimpse of hope that maybe there was something else out there that I could live for than just getting high. And I found myself in a treatment center in Houston, Texas. And a judge who I was going to court with, I was going to court because CPS told me I would be an unfit father and they wanted me to sign my rights away. This is when they found out that she was mine. And I didn't want to sign my rights away. Something in my spirit said, fight for her. But I still couldn't stop using. And so I was showing up to court high as a kite, man. You know, it was obvious I was using for weeks and weeks, and I was using pills to come down, from the uppers, cause I was an upper type addict, man. I took all the uppers, stayed up for weeks and weeks and weeks with no days of sleep, and then mellowed myself off that paranoia with the pills, man, and just went up and down all the fucking time, every day, all day, until my body would shut down and I would pass out and go to sleep, wake up to continue that vicious cycle all over again. And when I went to court, and they told me that they weren't going to give custody to me because I was unfit. And APD and some other officers showed up, and they were bringing all this stuff about my affiliations, my gang affiliations that went into the prisons, affiliations that went down across the border of the United States and Mexico. Like, they brought all this stuff up and said, you will never be a father figure, man. You just need to sign these rights away. And I didn't want to, man. I fought hard. I took CPS in the state of Texas to trial. And everybody said I was crazy, and everybody said that I couldn't do it and I wouldn't succeed because they've never seen a father get custody of their kids with the record that I had. Shit, even without a record like I had, that everybody said, man, that fathers don't get clean and fathers don't get custody of their kids and fathers can't be proactive in their kids' lives. This is the stuff they were feeding to me while I was trying to get in a frame of thought that I could do it. And I ignored them. And I went to treatment anyways in Houston. And I grew up in Austin. And I went to treatment in Houston, and they put me in Fifth Ward. And it was a treatment center over there, all male facility. And it was it was like 45 residential people that wanted it, and 240 coming out of prison, other known as Safe P. And it was therapeutic community. You know, the doors were open. They didn't keep them locked. They said, if you want to walk out the door, walk out the door, man. We ain't nobody keeping you. Ain't nobody stopping you to stay here. And it was a 45-day treatment center. I stayed for 165 days willingly because I was fucking scared shitless every 45 days that came up, that I didn't know what I was going to do to stay clean. If I were to go back home to Austin, I was scared, man. I used for 23 years, man. 45 days being away and removed wasn't nothing. I was still having triggers when I saw people's veins. I was still having triggers when I smelt certain odors. I was still having these thoughts of those reservations of my last high, man. Like, if I could just go back to that last high with that one girl who came to my house before I went to treatment, and I tried to have sex with her, and I couldn't have sex. I was so fucking gone. And I kept replaying in my head in treatment that now I'm clean, man. I can go back and show her that I can have sex, right? But I won't use this time. And I had all these thoughts, right? And then I had all these other people on the other hand telling me that don't go back to the people, places, and things. That find new people, places, and things. And it was like, where am I going to find these new people, places, and things? Man, everybody in Austin, Texas uses. Everybody. Not one person in Austin, Texas don't use something. There's not one person, man. That was like something I couldn't wrap my hand around, that people are walking around without anything to make them feel good. Because for me, it was about making myself feel good at first. And then once the party was over and I started partying at 13, and I thought the party was still going at the age of 33, but the party had well ended. I was just in the grip of using under a destructive force called the drugs, called obsession and compulsion, the obsession to keep using a substance that will take me away from my reality, and the compulsion that I suffer from once I use that after being obsessed. And once I use that compulsion that leads me back and back again to that certain substance that I can't stop using under my own willpower, that only a power greater than myself can help me stop. I started to learn about the obsession and compulsion, man, that the disease of addiction is. The makeup of the disease of addiction, and that it's spiritual, mental, and physical. And I suffer from this disease that is fatal, progressive, and it'll never go away. I'll never be cured of it, but I can have it arrested. And once I can arrest this disease of addiction, then I can start the recovery process. And the first part of that, arresting the disease of addiction, that obsession and that compulsion to use drugs, I had to learn how to stop using drugs. I had to learn to not use drugs. And then I find the miracle of recovery. The obsession to use has been lifted. That thought of wanting to use all the time. It is now gone. It's been lifted, man. I'm talking about the miracle of recovery, man. When that first miracle, not getting my kid, not getting the job, not getting the parents to back, not getting people to try and trust me again, not me feeling good about myself again, not getting a little bit of money. Now, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the miracle of the obsession to use in my thinking to be lifted, to be gone. That thought that they told me I never have to use drugs again, even if I wanted to. I heard this stuff when people were carrying the message into that treatment center that I went to. And back to that treatment center, man, I was scared, confused. I was broken. I didn't know where I was going, which way I was going. All I know is that there was a child out there depending on me to get clean, or else she was going to foster care. Nobody in her family wanted to step up. I'm grateful for one aunt that did step up, the only aunt. And she was temporary custodial of my daughter. And so after that 165 days being in that treatment center willingly, they finally told me, man, you got to get out of here. We're not going to keep extending you. You got a child to go back to. You can't stay here in this little safe haven. And I started thinking, like, you're right, man. But like, see, everything I knew, I felt safe there. I wasn't using there, and there was drugs in there. I had 5 roommates in that period of time, all get kicked out of my treatment center for using either on the facility or using when they were on like a work release or able to go out to an open meeting, and they would go get high instead and then try and come back to the treatment center. Like if they weren't high, get drug tested. I went through six roommates, man. And I always had a choice to get high with them, but I chose not to because I had my mind on this child, right? And yeah, I was getting clean for her. And I didn't know that as I kept coming back and I stayed, I was also staying clean for myself. And so the long story to that, that's why I found myself in treatment. That's where I found my first glimpse of hope that maybe there was another way to live. Maybe that, you know, real honesty, I thought I was going to get custody of my daughter and go back to smoking weed and drinking my 40s and my beer and my margaritas, but I wouldn't shoot up no dope. I wouldn't smoke no crack. I wouldn't pop those pills. I wouldn't use those mushrooms. I wouldn't do anything you put on the table. Cause I did all drugs and I did them in all different, front, backwards, all around, man. It didn't matter. It didn't start with one and end up with the other. I'm an addict, man. I use everything and anything to change the way I feel. And I know today I still can do that without the drugs. I can do that with women. I can do that I can do that with pornography. I can do it with food. I can do it with shopping, spending money. I can do it with working out. I can do it by listening to music. I can do it by work. There's lots of ways I can change the way I feel. But when it becomes a problem is when I obsess and I compulsively do it. And it becomes something that I obsess over and it takes control of my everyday living. And I start to lose track of what's really important to me. My real responsibilities, the gifts of recovery. Because the gifts of recovery that I've been able to obtain, to get and keep, was first off a clean date, 11/17/2012. That was the last day I used. It's been over 8 years that I've been clean and haven't picked up no drugs, man. And it's all because of my commitment and the love I have for my clean date. It's all because of the gratitude I have for what recovery has given me. The role of being a father, something that CPS in the state of Texas told me that I was unfit to be. Something that society told me that I couldn't achieve. But because of recovery, God, and some steps and principles, I've been everything that they told me I couldn't be. I found a purpose in life. And that purpose is a simple purpose for an addict like me. Man, it's a father, it's a member of society. Like I know that I'm like trying to be like in my 10th step, it asked me, I'll get back to it. But like my purpose is that I'm an addict in recovery, right? And I'm here to carry the message of recovery that an addict, any addict, don't matter what you use, what your gender is, whether you're atheist or you believe, whether you're gay or straight, it don't matter if you're rich or poor, it don't matter what kind of addict you are, that any addict can stop using drugs, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And I found that new way to live in the meetings of 12-step recovery. Now, I belong to one fellowship and I love that fellowship, and that fellowship has worked for me and it has worked for many others. And my experience is I walked in there broken. I walked in there confused and I walked in there powerless over drugs. And I walked in there with the hope that these people in that group could help me find what they had found, and that was recovery. They had found a new way to live without using any mind-altering substances. They found a way to enjoy life without using drugs. They found a way to have a manageable life in a life of life-on-life terms, man, where I can't control what life throws at me. But through a God of my understanding and principles and steps, I can learn to have a manageable life through all of that, man. I've learned to deal with friends dying, but because of recovery and steps and a sixth, all the steps leading all the way up to 9, That eighth step was a miracle. The ninth step for me rekindled a relationship between me and my dad, where my dad got to know his son and I got to know my dad on a whole nother level. And this was before he got sick. This was before he got COVID, and this is before he died. I got to share my kids with my dad. He got to be a grandpa. He got to have his son, and we had a good relationship. And this was all due to the steps, man. This wasn't just because I felt like being a good son all of a sudden. It wasn't just because I wanted his forgiveness all of a sudden. It wasn't just because I wanted to forgive him all of a sudden. I had to work hard to get through the resentments, the anger, and all the fear, all the upsets, all the stuff that I went through as a child with this man, to get to a place of wanting forgiveness and wanting him to be a part of my life and wanting me to be a part of his life. But I'll tell you one thing, I'm so grateful that it happened, because I didn't know he was going to die. I didn't know COVID was coming. But you know who knew? There was some power greater than me that knew my dad was going to leave this world. And he gave me just enough time to build a relationship with him. He gave me just enough time to build something where all the guilt and shame and remorse, I wouldn't be living with it in my head once he died. And that's what happened through the steps. I applied the steps in my life, and I applied them in the area with my dad, and we had a good relationship. He passed away, and I'm not dealing with guilt, shame, and remorse, because the steps helped me clean up that wreckage of my past with him. It helped me make amends on a deep level. It helped me make amends on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. And I feel good about the relationship that me and my dad had for about a year and a half before COVID hit and he died. And I'm grateful. I'm grateful for 12 steps, man. I'm grateful for principles that I get to work, even though I might not want to work them, because it's hard and it's tough looking at myself. It's hard looking at me and my past and my present and looking at my defects, but there's a gift in that, because I get to see the hope of all that defective stuff being removed, and looking at assets and looking at where my life can go when I practice the principles behind the steps, where recovery can take me. I'm talking about the gifts of recovery. The miracle is the obsession to use be lifted, where now I'm not thinking about using drugs, and I can start to live and enjoy life again, because recovery for me is about getting to live all over again, having a new start, having a daily reprieve, man. They told me that once we make it to recovery, we're starting life all over again. Like we're living life backwards. Most people, they live a good life from the small age all the way up. I started living my good life at 34 years old, and now I'm 43, and life has been pretty damn good, way better than those 23 years I was using drugs, going in and out of prison, dealing with gangs, dealing with people that were no good. And today I embrace a fellowship that is full of love, full of experience, strength, and hope. I embrace them because they are my lifeline. I go to meetings regularly because I get to find hope. I get to listen to the message of other addicts who have overcome life on life terms and have found a way through them, not around them, not running from them, but they face life on life terms using the principles and the steps and the fellowship and the God of their understanding. And they share that with me and other people seeking to hear the message of recovery in the meetings. That's why I go to meetings, man, because there's so much hope in there. There's so much help in the meetings. Like, I don't know when I'm going to hear the message that I'm going to need to hold on to, because life on life terms is going to happen sometime down the road. And I'm going to say, oh yeah, I remember this one person faced that dilemma. and made it through clean. Oh, that one person, he practiced the principles and held his high, held and walked through it with integrity, walked through it with his head up and didn't self-destruct and didn't cause harm to him or others. I need to go talk to that person. I need to go see how they did it so that way they can show me and they can instill in me what they did. And that's how it works. And that's how I've been able to stay clean for 8 years when I've wanted to use on many, like the obsession to use has been lifted. But does that mean I don't ever want to use? No, I'd be lying to you if I told you I never wanted to use. There's been good times in this 8 years where I wanted to celebrate and I wanted to drink. There's been bad times in my recovery where I thought, man, just a hit of that marijuana that my coworkers are smoking would take the fucking pain away. There's been times where people are glamorizing at work because I work in construction and there's all kinds of shit going on in construction. People are getting high. They're using during and after. And I'm the one who's there clean, man. And they know I'm in recovery. I don't hide that shit, man. I didn't hide when I was using, and I sure don't hide that I'm a clean addict in recovery, man. Like, I'm so grateful for the gift. Because I was using and I was dying, and I never thought that I would be able to live. And today I'm living. I'm going to tell you one thing. See, I put a timer on me, and I got 13 minutes. I received custody of my daughter when she was 2 years old, and I had 2 years clean. She's going to be 10 years old on the 21st of this month. I've had her for 8 years, full custody. I've put her into school. She's been an A student all the way up into fourth grade, right? She's about to be 10 years old on next Monday. And I got this big surprise party for her. I hope she don't like, she's not by the door listening, but I got this big surprise party for her at this Kalahari resort. And it's costing an arm and a leg, but I don't care. I want to show her how much I love her. I want her to have fun, right? And I got all her cousins involved and all this family, and we're gonna surprise her with this big party at the Kalahari Resort. And I'm excited for that, man, because this part of the reason I got clean for. And I get to do these things today. I get to be a father to a child who doesn't have her mom around, man. Her mom can't stop using. Her mom can't stop going back to the people, places, and things that keep abusing her, beating her up. Every man, I get these calls where she's telling me she's got broken ribs. They broke her nose. They're beating her. She don't know if she's going to live. Can I go pick her up? I've had to rescue her 3 times in a course of 8 years. I've tried to take her to meetings. That stuff doesn't work, or it hasn't worked yet, but I haven't lost hope. What I do is I keep praying, and I keep praying, and I never turn away. I don't turn my back on her because she's a suffering addict, just like I was. And just because I got the message and got clean don't mean that she can't either when it's her time. I just pray she doesn't die before that time. And I just want her to be a part of her daughter at some point in her life. So I'm never going to keep my daughter from her. That's recovery. Because at one time I resented her. At one time I wanted to keep her away from my daughter. And my sponsor said, this was sponsor's guidance. This was my first sponsor. Told me that is not the right thing to do. That my daughter and mom's relationship is very important. Even if it's non-existent now, it will be important at some point in her life. And at some point in her life, my daughter will be able to make a choice for herself, whether she wants to be in her mom's life or not. Where do I want to be? When that choice comes, do I want me and my daughter to be in conflict? Or do I want me and my daughter to be in a loving, caring place where she can still trust me, where she can still talk to me, where she doesn't have to hide things from me? Like, that's recovery, man. That is like guidance from other men who have found recovery and they fed it to me. And I'm still trying to nourish that. I'm still trying to keep that balance. I'm still trying to stay in that place. because like I want to control things and I want to keep her safe from things and I want her to not experience stuff, but I don't have that control to a certain extent. Because my parents didn't have the control to keep me from going down the road that I went down. And I'll say this, I came from a good family. Both my parents never divorced. Not saying they didn't have a lot of bad stuff go on, but they never divorced. And they were always willing to do whatever they could for me and my sister. But I chose to go down a bad path. And they couldn't control it. So I know that I can't control it, but I have a God today that I know has rescued me and has rescued many others and can continue to work in the lives of people that I have no control over. And today I pray to the God of understanding to work in the lives of those lives that I have no control over. And I just continue praying in that area. And that area goes way beyond just the mothers of my kids. And I say the mothers of my kids because I just don't have one daughter. In the process of staying clean and seeking recovery, they told me, don't get in a relationship your first year clean, man. Don't complicate it. And I was like, okay, I won't. But after a year and a couple of weeks, I went and started dating. And I met somebody, and she wasn't in recovery. And we had a lot of sex and she got pregnant and I had a broken first step, man. I got unmanageable in that relationship and she got pregnant and we had my second daughter and she supported my recovery to a certain extent. But then she said I was in too many meetings. I was in too many conventions that I was picking my recovery over the relationship. And today I can see that that was true. At the time I couldn't see it. I was trying to learn how to stay clean. I was learning how to try to keep my recovery first. And I didn't want a relationship to get in the way, no matter if we had kids or not. And so we went through a breakup. But during that breakup, we didn't stop having sex. So I got her pregnant again. And my son came out of it. And right when my son was born, she wanted to keep the kids from me. So I had saved up enough money in this trade. Recovery taught me that I could do some things. And people insisted that I could recover and make a good life. And that one that I could support myself and my children and my family. And I decided to go to a trade school and get a trade. And in that trade, every time I got paid, they made us save money in this little vacation fund. And for 4 years, I was saving this money that they made us save. And that was a blessing in disguise because when she decided to keep the kids from me, I used all that money. It equaled up to around $10,000. And I went and got myself a lawyer and I fought for my kids. Because I deserved my kids to be in my life, even if our relationship didn't work. Even if we couldn't stand each other, my kids deserved their father just as much as they deserved their mother. And I fought for my kids, tooth and nail. And I was honest with my recovery. And the judge knew everything. And at the end of the road of that deal, the judge gave me 50-50 custody. Everything split down the middle. And that's been a blessing. So I'm a single father today to fixing to be a 10-year-old. I got a 6-year-old who's going from kindergarten to first grade. And I got a 5-year-old son who's going from daycare to kindergarten school. And they're in my life on an everyday basis. And I'm so grateful for that, man, because like, once again, I'm a father today, something that CPS and state of Texas told me I wouldn't be. But the people in the rooms of recovery insisted that I could get clean. They insisted that I could recover. They insisted that I could learn how to live life on life terms without the use of drugs. They insisted that the program would work with any addict that wants to work the program, man, that believes in the program. And because we believe in you, Like, I believe in each one of y'all. If y'all are seeking recovery, if you're seeking a relationship with your children, and you want to learn how to live without using substances, like, I found that way to live in the rooms of recovery. I found it amongst a special fellowship. And I don't know what fellowship's going to work for you, but I know all the fellowships work. And I got many friends in different fellowships, but I found the fellowship that works for me. And I give it my 110% because it has given me so much more. I've learned how to love myself. I've learned how to feel good without using. I found self-acceptance on a deep level, something that I could never even fathom about even knowing what the hell is self-acceptance. But I've learned how to accept me past the physical. I'm talking about learning how to love myself through my defects of character. Learning how to love myself because I am not perfect. I'm human, and I'll never be perfect. But every day I have another day to apply the principles of recovery that can make me a better person. And that's why I'm so grateful for the daily reprieve. That's why I'm so grateful that this recovery is a day at a time, one day at a time, sometimes one moment at a time. So like today, man, I go to meetings regularly. I got a home group. I'm part of that home group. I'm a trusted servant in that home group, which means I get to make some decisions about how the home group is ran because I was voted in. I'm a treasurer. I handle all the home group's money, all the funds. Like they trust me with that stuff, man. A dope fiend, a criminal that I used to be. They trust me with all their money. And I get to show up and show them that I have honesty and integrity today, and that it's in good hands. And that when they need it deposited, it's going to be deposited. And when they need that treasure report, it's going to be accurate. And like it started with being a GSR, somebody who reports stuff from the group back to the area, and then doing H&I, which is hospitals and institutions, just a member of recovery, sharing my experience, strength, and hope with other addicts, letting them know that there's a new way to live for any addict, and that no matter how bad you feel, that you too can get this. I heard that the dumbest person can get recovery. The one who has a hard time is that smart addict. The one that thinks they can be smarter than a few suggestions. The one that thinks they're smarter than listening to others that have found a proven way. I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm helping anybody, but like the hope in my story is that I was a broken, confused, beaten person. My spirit was bankrupt, and I didn't have nothing to live for. And then I found hope. And then I found a way to live in the rooms of recovery that have been proven to improve my life. I'm no longer broken. I'm no longer confused. I have steps. I have a God. I have principles. I have found a way to live through a program of recovery that has helped me become a productive member of society in the rooms of recovery and outside of the rooms of recovery. I'm not just willing to help people in recovery. I'm willing to help that person walking down the street that needs help. I'm willing to help hold that door open for the person that got their hands full or struggling with their kids. And I can extend some kindness and open that door for that person and wait for them to go through, whether I'm in a hurry or not. Like, I'm not so self-centered today. I could be a lot selfless today. And that's only through a conscious contact with the God I'm understanding and practicing principles that I've learned through my program of recovery. And so if it can work for me and it can work for any other addict before me and that comes after me, my sponsees that I've had, and then they fire me and then they go find somebody else and then it works for them. Like, you know, I don't take that stuff personal. But that's my time. I'm a grateful recovering addict, still seeking recovery today. I'm grateful to be clean, and I'm grateful for the life that I have today. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you.
That was awesome.
Thank you. That was an amazing story, man.
He inspired many of us here at the ranch.